The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, I hate playing dragons, but I'm going to get you back this week, co-host Aramis Pros. Aramis, sir, how are you?
I'm not necessarily going to get you back. I think your stuff might get you back.
Why am I dying and not surprised on that one? Well, before we begin tonight, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They are located in two locations in upstate New York, in Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's is 100% the best place to go in gaming. Now, if you can't get to upstate New York, or, you know, you just aren't able to get there, they have a really great website, KGS Online. That's Kite Go Samuel Online, or it stands for Kerwin's Game Store, online.com. And if you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, you get 5% off your online order. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons: Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and Dragon D's Nuts, along with Levi. And we also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan, and Imagine Dragon the Sea Across Your Face. And then finally, we cannot forget our producer level patron, Jamie. We could not do this show without these guys. I say it every week, but they are amazing. They help out in so many ways, and really the main thing they get is they get first stab, which I didn't put up in the Patreon this week. Oopsie. They get first stabs at the Wednesday night Commander Craft podcast. So, hey, if you're a patron and listen to this and you want to play, let me know in the Discord. But if you want to be a part of that, from Monday until Tuesday morning, patrons have a whack. We also give them a few other things. They get first dibs on any of the Winnebox events we have, as well as we're working out other things. So not just that, it really does help the show. It keeps us afloat. It keeps us able to do things. To find out more, go to patreon.com/plainstalkers. You can also, don't forget that our Wednesday show is Call Commander Craft. It's where we play listeners in Paper Commander using webcams and spell table. I am the champion this week. I was playing the Ur-Dragon, and I had a good run. Actually, I think Colin deserves some points here. Colin was the one who just kept milling Aramis and everybody else except me. So I was like, woohoo! Great time. It's a lot of fun. We talk a lot of trash. We have a good time. It's very positive. We tend to play pretty mid-level decks. To find out more, just look up Commander Craft on any of our social media platforms. And we also want to remind you that we are the flagship podcast for the Plains Talker Network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is on Anchor at anchor.fm/cantripcartel, and you can download them on most podcatchers. And, you know, you can also find them on our Discord. They have their own channel in there. It gets a lot of attention. They've got a really great show and a really great vibe going. If you haven't checked it out, please do. But before we do anything else, sir, we're still in untapped, so I'm going to untap my District 96 Dale Snake Ale and ask Aramis Perez, sir, how the hell are you tonight?
My back hurts.
My bones hurt.
I wish I was joking, too.
Your back hurts? Why would your back hurt?
I threw up my back yesterday.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke about carrying me on this podcast.
No. If I'm carrying anything, it's just all your bullshit.
Hey. My BS is wonderful. And we have surveys that say, yes, survey.plainstalkerspodcast.com. Segue. Good segue. But yeah, no. Well, dude, that's not cool. I did some moving around this weekend too. So, I mean,
well, that's the thing. I don't even know what the hell I did. That's the worst thing. Like you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're not getting out of bed today.
I've been there. So
I'm good. I'm hopped up on medication. It's all fun.
Oh, well, that's okay. As long as you're hopped up on medication.
Drugs are great.
Yeah, we had a weekend. We got a new bed. Like, our bed has just been causing no end of back issues. And so, well, we haven't gotten the mattress part yet, but we...
Another segue.
Yeah, right? We got... So I bought the new frame arrived, and it's an 18-inch off-the-ground frame. Like, we wanted something a little higher because we're old. And, but we put our mattress and box spring that we currently have on the 18-inch. We now have cinder blocks that used to hold up the old bed to be able to climb stairs to get into the current bed. The new mattress arrives like Wednesday or Thursday, but I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm eye level with the TV that's mounted on the wall. But yeah, we had a good weekend too. We went and saw the daughter at her apartment, dropped some stuff off. I helped him get wired up for internet, and it was a very cool visit. Like, it's one of those like parental moments where you're like, okay, she shifted into this adult thing now, you know, where, you know, I was like talking about Thanksgiving, and then I'm like, you know, you guys are welcome to stay over. And then I'm sitting there going, oh, crap. Like, 2 weeks ago, I never would have let Logan stay over at the house, let alone let them, you know, be around the same area. But if they live together now, I have to be like, oh, crap. But, you know, overall, it was a pretty nice, cool weekend. And I keep reconfiguring the studio. I'm coming up with new and exciting things to do. So, you know, next up, I got a few ideas. So I've moved the green screen, et cetera. So. But we have a pretty good show tonight. Let's get into upkeep real quick. We're gonna do something we've been kind of threatening to do for a while. Now that releases are done, okay, with Crimson Vow, we're not going to see another standard set release until, what, February?
February.
Yeah. February. I mean, we'll see a few Commander stuff, which we'll probably talk about. But, I mean, we get to kind of go back to doing OG Planeswalkers a little bit. So tonight we are going to go through the State of Sandor because we haven't done that in a while. And then we're going to talk about some of the Crimson Vow pre-release issues because, oh doggy, there were some. Just a couple. And then we don't really have a combat. We may fall into one. But in main two, I'm kind of excited about this. We're going to do another Commander Craft segment, which, again, I'm aware I have to work up like the bumper for and the audio and stuff like that. That's on my to-do list. But we're going to talk about proxying tonight. We've been threatening to do it for a while. We want to kind of talk about when you should do it, if you should do it, should it be permitted, why. And then we have a deck tech. Wednesday night, a new listener, at least I think he's new because I'm pretty sure I remember the name Super Carrot. But Super Carrot... sent us a deck list to kind of go through. So we're going to kind of look at that and see things that we would suggest you do or not do. And then we're going to update you finally on how we're doing on the Winnabox tournament. Holy crap, these guys are off to the damn races. Like, they're going insane. So I'm just trying to see now, did somebody win tonight? Oh, yeah, look at that. So, we have some stuff, and we have videos. We have to set time to kind of do that. I need people to send us more because we didn't get a ton yet. But that's kind of our show tonight. Why don't we go ahead and get right into the main phase?
Main phase.
Okay, main phase. You know what? We have a bumper for her. She's not coming tonight. Did you text her? You texted her, didn't you?
I did not text her.
You're like, Will made a bumper. Don't come out and say hello tonight. She may not.
I mean, I never tell her that she has to, and she does it on her own choice. But if she doesn't, I give her shit.
Right. But that dude, that's kind of like telling her she has to.
No, she does. She's completely free to make her own decisions as long as it's ones that satisfy me.
Right. And she will understand the repercussions of said actions.
No, she'll throw things at me if she's mad at me.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Although that hasn't happened yet.
Don't forget, that's a Twitch sticker, I do believe, is Wendy throwing a shoe at me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference. Like, I'm on a 14-year streak of things not being thrown at me.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Wendy did that before the marriage. It was like -2 years when Wendy started throwing shit.
Oh, yeah. That 14-year streak includes before the marriage.
Yeah.
Has not happened yet.
Congratulations, sir. Well done. Some would say that you haven't really been married until she throws something at you, but I don't necessarily agree with that statement.
I haven't even gotten like the stereotypical punch in the arm.
Ooh.
Wow. He's threatened it, but he has never actually done it.
Well, yeah, because, you know, then I got to ask myself, okay, is she just afraid that you're going to beat her back? Are you one of those types that loses their temper, Ernest? Do we have to have a talk about, you know? This got dark. There she is.
There's my love.
See, this is Toto's Pamela.
Love it.
I've always liked that song. That's all. We'll probably get kicked off of Facebook now.
Yeah, that's probably so many copyright strikes. You never post this on YouTube.
Yes, yes. Well, we're actually already on YouTube, but I think I did it for like, I think it's 30 seconds. So, you know.
You'd be surprised how quickly they'll hit you now.
Yeah, they're kind of assholes.
Oh,
kind of. Pam, feel free. You know what? To be quite honest, Pam, feel free tonight. Just the door is behind him. You could open that door, throw a shoe at him right on camera. We'd love it. The door's locked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that could be Jimmy. Did you hear that, Pam? That's a challenge. That's a challenge, he just said. I had no idea Toto did a Pamela song. Yes, they did. And when it comes to obscure 80s hair band music, I will find it.
maybe we won't get the strike because it'll be like people are like, oh, they did a song like that. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's probably not even programmed into any database. It's on.
It's on.
This is going
to
end well.
You're welcome to come on camera whenever you want, Dave.
Again, I still think if we get an April 1st on a Monday, we have the wives do the show. You and I sit back.
That would be pretty cool. I would totally be down for that. I mean, I would love to have her on Commander Craft one day.
I just would love it if they sat there and just, honestly, as much as I love magic, how much fun would it be to do an episode where our wives rag on the fact that we're involved in this like thing and they don't see us? Like, I think that not in my sweaty workout clothes. Oh, she works out. I like her. So let's get getting back to magic.
Do we have to?
I know, right? Let's just make it the Pamela's podcast. So we already have theme music.
I'm down for that.
Okay, let's get back in this. All right, so State of Standard. We're going to start that off. Damn it. We are gone completely off the rails already. It's totally a train wreck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's talk about Standard. Standard has had a few changes in the last couple of weeks. It's kind of weird in that it looks to me like I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, MTG Goldfish, which is what we use, guys. We've said this before. We'll say it again. We use MTG Goldfish for our State of Standard. They're saying 21.5% of the meadow right now is mono white aggro. How? And then 16% is mono green. However, 3 and 4, is it control and is it dragons? I kind of wonder if those are kind of, I mean.
This is.
One of those like moments where they're, because I mean, they have Smoldering Egg and Goldspan Dragon. And is it control is not running creatures at all. Okay, never mind that.
Yeah, that's Epiphany. That's the Epiphany deck. What this is, and I think I would love to see this stay this way, but I don't think it will. This is that typical time of the format where aggro's in control. Because control hasn't figured out aggro yet.
Right.
All you give it like 3 weeks, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see those numbers flip. Because basically all this tells me is that the is it control decks or the Dimir control decks haven't figured out exactly how they want to attack the aggro decks just yet.
And
once that happens, it's all
and over. White got some play in Crimson Vow. So Dimir control could go. Dimir control could go. Esper control will go. Esper control any day. Like it's just gonna go right in there. I fully expect it.
I don't know if the mana's good enough. For
well, don't we have like the duel now? We've got just as much duel as we had before.
We do, but there's no Fabled Passage.
That's true. Fabled Passage is out of Standard.
Yeah, there's no fabled passage, and there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, the mana is not terrible. I mean, you got the pathways, and you have these new. I don't know if they're Tangle lands or Buddy, whatever the hell lands they're called now, Slow lands.
Right.
I'm not sure if those are quite good enough to support 3 or 4 color decks. But I mean, if any 3 color combination was going to try to make it work, it would be Esper, because you know Thalia is a house.
Yeah, I could see Esper getting love, especially with the 2 multi turn spells in there as well.
Like, well, they can't play the is it one, the red one that
oh that's true yeah
cleave cost. So they can't play that, but you know they can play Auron's Epiphany and they can play Thalia and they
right.
can play you know there's some stuff
there's toys in there. So
yeah, there's toys. I don't know how good it would be, but there are definitely toys.
Yeah, I think you're gonna see Esper come out of there. I think mono white aggro is going to be one of those. You see mono white aggro show up, it shows up. And then it's kind of like, your boss at the Halloween at the Christmas party. Okay, if you have a good boss, they go to the Christmas party. They stay for about an hour, and I'm talking like normal ones, not Glenmont, where you know we weren't served alcohol. But like usually at a job where I had a Christmas party, the boss shows up for like an hour, and then conveniently leaves because they know that. You need to have a good time, and nobody's going to have a good time while the boss is standing there. So, like, it feels like white aggro, at least for the past few years, has been like that. It hangs out for a little while, it engages, it has a good time, and then it's like, yeah, I'm out of here, see you later. And something better comes along.
I think this one might be different.
I think green aggro is much better than white. But
no, I think Thalia really gives white the edge in this. I think that gives it the staying power that it's going to need to be some kind of a force in the meta going forward. I don't know if it's going to stay on top of the meta. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see it slipping out of the top 3 or 4 because Thalia, I mean, that's a really, really strong reprint for standard. And
oh,
Mono
Red's
not around. So, yeah. You know,
that, which is still baffling to me. That is still baffling.
Yeah,
it's been
quite there.
8 years, I think, since Mono Red has been a
it's
deck
been
in standard.
84 years.
Wow. So, standard is looking pretty diverse, though. I will say that. Is it fun? Like, I had to ask myself this question. I opened my Crimson Vow pre-release tonight before we went on the air. I actually did a small, quick stream. And I got to tell you, I was kind of like, eh. You know, I was like, is it fun anymore? Like, I remember Throne of Eldraine and Ikoria pre-releases and opening up all of this, like, incredible, like, bombastic stuff. And you're like, holy cow. And now you're kind of like opening Crimson Vow going, oh, yeah, look, it's vampires.
I think the difference is, too, is that a big part of that is you opened your pre-release set on camera, messed around with it for a bit. But you weren't at the pre-release.
True.
I mean, for whatever, it doesn't matter what the quality of the set necessarily is. Being at a pre-release is an experience that is kind of unique to Magic. And it's not something that you can't really quantify it any other way unless you're actually there.
Right.
Cracking open the packs. You know, it's the first time anybody's really playing with them and figuring it out from there. I mean, opening it on camera and messing around with the deck is nowhere near the same thing. It's a pale imitation.
And
I can understand what you're saying, though. Just power level wise, yeah, for sure.
It's going to be like that, I think, for a while. And I'm not saying it's a ban on Wizards. How dare you? It's just going
to
be like this for a while.
Yeah,
it's like I said,
because
yeah. What I said during the stream earlier was, I was like, imagine if you were, you know, playing, you know, you had a sword and you had a great sword for years, okay, and it was an amazing sword, and you learned how to sword fight, and it was awesome. Then somebody comes along and gives you a lightsaber for 2 years, and now you have a lightsaber, and you're using this lightsaber, you're like, yeah, this is great, amazing, and then they're like, okay, we're done with the lightsaber now. Here, play with your sword again. And you're like, well, yeah. It's still fun.
I like the sword, but this doesn't instantly cauterize when I cut off somebody's arm.
That's kind of how it feels to me a little bit.
I can understand that.
And that's again, it's just going to be one of those things we have to get to, you know, we have to like get through this time is all, you know, we just have to be like, you know, and Wizards has to, you know, dear God, like go out, guys, go out and buy the set. Please, dear God, go buy this set. Go buy every set. Because if you don't buy it, Wizards is going to say, oh, they must not want this type of stuff. Okay, then, let's give them, you know, adventure cards again. Only these ones, you know, you lose the game with them or something dumb.
I think the power level, I think what they're going to do, I think it's going to be toned down through... Unfortunately, through Kamigawa, which was one of the things that sort of killed it the last time. I don't think Nuka Penna is going to be super strong. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the power start creeping back up at Dominaria United in the Brothers War, especially Brothers War.
Because that's kind of where power creep started with us before was Dominaria. Like, they started bringing in sagas, and after it was Dominaria, and then we went right into Guilds, and it just started.
Dominaria was also a set that was... had Richard Garfield's fingerprints on it, and it was also very good. It was one of those sets where it was powerful, but it was like it wasn't obscene, and it was just like, okay, this is really cool. I love this card. Oh, this card's really cool, but nothing was really like, oh, this sucks. It's way too strong. I mean, even Teferi Hero. Teferi Hero of Dominaria, as powerful as it was, especially you compare it to Time Raveler.
Yes.
Teferi was the strongest card in the set.
Yeah,
I don't think it was particularly close. It was the strongest card in the set.
Well,
but I think scale of 1 to 10, I think it was like maybe an 8.
I mean, Time Raveler, really, you know.
Well, I'm talking Dominaria.
But Time Raveler was basically Teferi came out, and it was everybody was like, oh, this is fucking annoying. This is terrible. This is horrible. And it's the worst Teferi that could ever be printed. And then Time Raveler's like, hold my beer. Yeah. It's like,
Time Raveler opened a brewery. What are you talking about?
I mean, it just, I get it. But I'm hoping that, I do hope we kind of start coming down a little bit. And I think, too, part of the pre-release problem, I think part of the problem, too, is the issues we had this past weekend. And there were several. On all fronts, on both electronic and paper.
Yeah, glaring ones, too.
Oh. I mean, we were warned. Everybody was forewarned about Crimson Vows, paper, you know, that shipments are going to be delayed. That, you know, the pre-release set booster boxes aren't going to be available.
That was before the ransomware attack.
Yeah, right?
it's a comedy of errors if you look at the timeline of how things played out. Because, you know, they started off saying before all that happened, like about a month ago, they were like, hey, Crimson Vow is going to have some hiccups with distribution.
Right.
You know, some people might get shorted, da, 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 da. Then, like, what, not even a week before pre-release, the major distributor for the United States for a lot of the local game stores got hacked, ransomware, which shut down everything except for, like, some of their local computers to fill orders. So they couldn't fulfill any of the orders. So a bunch of game stores didn't get, like, any of their product.
Right.
Well, and I mean, when they finally did,
there were problems. I mean, we were going to go live Friday and do our pre-release like we normally do. Mm-hmm. I managed to get my hands on a pre-release kit or Saturday, not Friday. We knew we were busy Saturday or Friday.
Right.
So Saturday I got my hands on a pre-release kit. You could not find one. Like you went to two damn game stores and couldn't find one.
I went to Kerwin's and I went to Flights. So I went south to Catskill, then north past my house up to Albany to Flights, and they were. I could not get a pre-release kit.
You would have had to travel to Amsterdam. You would have had to be. And then if you were out here getting your pre-release kit here, I'm like, I would have been like, screw it. You're gonna sit in the studio. I'll light this shit up.
That wasn't gonna happen.
I know it wasn't.
It's unfortunate. I will say it was not completely unexpected because they kind of had the same issue for Midnight Hunt. They only had so many.
Right.
I was able to get them the week after. It's not the same, but I was able to get one.
Yeah. I got one. Where did I open? Falcon Wrath. So.
The new Anya? Or?
No. Falcon Wrath Forebear.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of like, whatevs. I did open Edgar, so that was kind of cool. I did get Edgar Charmed Groom. That was about the biggest thing I got, and one of the lands. I do have a box of draft boosters. I don't know what we're doing with them, because I don't know if we're going to get set or draft from Kerwin's next week. So yeah. I was like, now I have one here. I mean, if we do the booster box game, do we do it with, or do we wait till we can buy sets? You know, it's like,
I mean, I'm not, and in all honesty, this is another set that I'm probably going to pass on buying a box.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I got a box. It's sealed. I haven't felt the urge to crack it yet. It's a very strange thing.
The last three sets have kind of been that way.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, you know what I think it is? I think Strixhaven spoiled us.
Probably.
I think the Mystical Archives, I think they spoiled us to the point where it's like, there's no real crazy stuff in this that I could possibly get. I'm not gonna bother cracking a booster box.
And to be honest, I'm going to say this out loud right now. There's no reason they couldn't do the Mystical Archive from now on. There is absolutely no reason that they couldn't curate reprints in every Magic set.
There's no reason they should have ever stopped the Masterpieces to begin with.
True. I would get with that. Like,
I mean, that's something they should definitely bring back for Dominaria.
Right. I imagine they will. I imagine we'll get, you know, I haven't even cracked. You know what? I could. I will crack my box. No, because you know what? The box topper isn't even worthwhile. It's like,
because I could tell you right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look that up.
Are the box toppers worth anything? Because I'll open one on air.
The box toppers can potentially be worth something. The box topper. Okay, so if you get the
Dracula.
Count Dracula, Soren the Mirthless box topper, the non foil is $41.
So yeah,
it's about $55. But yeah, so like the money in these boxes is going to be the box topper.
Yeah. So which is sad.
And for me, it's like I love the idea of box toppers. I think that's really cool that they're doing it. I don't really care too much about Dracula.
No.
So it's like, all right, it's a cool idea, whatever. I mean, I'll pick them up maybe at some point. I'll collect them through other means. But I feel like they really missed an opportunity with this, because Midnight Hunt didn't have box toppers at all. We kind of remember when we first saw the leaked images of the Crimson Vow product, it's like, oh, it has box toppers. And we were curious as to what it was going to be. It's like, oh, well, maybe they'll put Liliana of the Veil. Maybe they'll put Snapcaster Mage. Maybe they'll put some of the other ridiculous bullshit that came out of the first couple times it went to Innistrad. You know, Emrakul, the Promised End. You know, maybe that'll be in a special frame. No, it's going to be, you know, Dracula framed versions of cards in Crimson Vow, which, okay, like the Sorin card's good. That's a good Planeswalker. There's a couple other good cards that are in there, but it's just, it doesn't have the same wow factor to me as the Godzilla cards did for some reason.
I just can't wait till next week, the Professor's video. I wonder how long it'll be.
Oh, man. You know what? It's going to depend on if he counts the box topper.
Yeah, he will.
He will.
But it's, but there were other issues last weekend. All right, so paper had its problem. But then you go to Arena.
Oh, wait. You got to go back to the paper ones then, because you didn't mention the fact that, some of the packs, like the cards were like halfway off printing.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
Terrible.
Yeah. Like, especially the land cards.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, the Japanese ones were bad, and those are usually really good. And it's really kind of disconcerting that the quality control of these cards has been absolute shit the last couple of years. And I think part of the problem is that I don't know if they fired their QC team.
Well, I'm sure some of it's the pandemic. These were printed last year during the pandemic. So I can get behind the pandemic. Yeah.
But a lot of other sets were printed during the pandemic too.
Yeah.
But I think one of the problems is the fact that they're cranking out sets every 2 weeks, plus secret layers, plus all the other nonsense that's coming out. There's so much product coming out. Even if they had the same number of people in QC, they're probably overworked.
Yeah, because now I'm curious if I have Japanese or not. So,
can usually tell on the box; it'll tell you where it came from.
I think these are Japanese because these are bubbles.
Without having to open it,
those are the bubbles. No, I haven't.
Check the box. In the bottom of the box, it'll tell you where it was made. With all the back, you know, all the information for copyright and stuff.
Yeah.
It'll tell you where it was.
Made in Japan. All right. So these are Japanese. Let's see. Well, first of all, we woke open my box topper, so we'll keep that. You know, why not? Because it's here.
Cracking open on camera.
So on camera.
Pull
so.
It on camera.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you get.
I'm going to, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to turn off my green screen background so you can see it and it doesn't, like, cause you guys to fart. Okay. Here we go. So, all right. Were you telling me what I got? You know what I got?
I could tell you how much what you got is going to be worth.
I got Dracula the Voyager.
What does it say underneath it for the real name of the card?
Edgar Charmed Groom, which I already have an Edgar. So.
Edgar Charmed Groom. Okay. Hang on. Oh my goodness. Where the heck is it?
Yeah, it ain't going to be worth much.
Oh my God. Hold on.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah, this is definitely Japanese because it's backwards.
Oh my God, where the fuck is it? There it is. Let's see. Is this the one? That is not the one. Okay.
This is great content.
Yeah, it's low, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to worry about it. Let's. So okay,
keep on digging.
I did open here. I did get a foil old Rut Stain. That's cool. And. Looks like the lands are normal.
That's
good. So, and then Dream Root Cascade. So, I'm not going to go through all the packs here, but yeah, I could see where, yeah, it's going to be an interesting, I'll crack these. I'll probably crack these open on screen. Okay, I do like that the box topper comes, I didn't like it first that it comes on something like this that has to be ripped so you feel like you bend it, but you do get kind of cool art. So,
so the one you got was Edgar Charmed Groom?
Yes. Huh. Dracula, though. The Dracula version. Dracula the Voyager.
They don't even have that on here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of like...
I can tell you that the regular version of Edgar is $3.
Yes, so. That's that was the rare I opened in my pre-release pack. So, hallelujah, God bless America.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there were problems. And then you tack on Arena. John Parker replying to Pamela Perez. Pamela, that song was their biggest song not named Africa. Not true. Rosanna was their biggest song not named Africa. Pamela was their hit like after that. They actually had a horn section, which is why I liked it. Yeah, so Arena had all sorts of crazy crap happen. Basically having to do with all of the sealed or limited events.
Yeah, which was, you know, going to be the bread and butter for that weekend because it's pre-release.
Yeah. So,
whoops.
Basically, one of the more innocuous bugs that they were saying was, you know, and I did see this, where the art wasn't loaded. You were getting Fibble Thip, you know, with the red triangle. So
I can live with that.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Again, you're pushing this shit out so fast. You just put out Modern Horizons 6 hours ago. I get it. Okay, I can get behind that. But then people were complaining about that. First of all, like in limited, it seemed that they were roping. People were roping. You were just one or both were roping. You know, draft events were simply booting them out. Sealed events were booting them out. It was bad. And what happened was, and then Wizards comes out and says, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna let you keep your cards, and we're going to refund you the gems you paid to play. It's like, but if I had a monster seal or a monster draft, I stood to gain so much more.
Yeah, but that's not what they did initially, though.
No, not initially.
Initially, they're like, "Here's a booster pack."
Yeah, here, have an eight, not a draft booster pack, not a 15-card booster pack. No, have an 8-card booster pack.
have a boosty.
Oh, Wizards.
Even though you spent 2,000 gems or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Wizards, I love you, Wizards, so much.
And you know what? That wasn't the only client that was having issues.
No. Oh, MTGO was having problems too,
MTGO
right?
MTGO had a bug, had a really nasty bug. So I'm not sure you heard about this one, but
I didn't.
You played Wedding Invitation.
Yeah.
You automatically won the game.
Hey, I opened that card in my pre-release. Would that work on pre-release?
MTGO, if you play if you played Wedding Invitation, it would pass to your priority to your opponent. Your opponent would not be able to act, and their timer would go down, and so they'd time out and lose.
Oh shit!
Automatic. Automatic.
Oh, that had to suck.
I mean, MTGO is a host of bugs to begin with.
Well, yeah, it's a shitstorm.
Yeah, but that it was like, oh well, geez, you know, it's like because. The Magic historian was actually talking about this, and I can't imagine the amount of salt that some people were going through saying, well, I can't make the pre-release, you know, for whatever reason. I'll go play Arena. Fucking event's not loading. Everything's all not working right. Okay, I just lost 2,000 gems. Great, what the hell? All right, screw this. I'm going to Magic Online. All right, this is great. Oh, cool. Oh, my opponent played this card. What's it called? Wedding Invitation. Oh, that's cool. Wait, why can't I click? What's going on? What the fuck is going on?
And then he went out and drank 4 bottles of liquor and slid into a family of 6. And now now owns Wizards. So,
Pretty much.
And that's where I'm kind of glad that they're kind of, you know, other than the double feature, which is coming up, they're taking a break. Like, there's not going to be any real major releases.
Oh, they're basically taking a break with double feature. Have you seen that set?
Yeah.
It's every card in both sets smashed together.
Yeah.
They didn't even take anything out.
Oh, they didn't curate it?
Not really.
Oh, great.
It's basically both sets completely together. Like, the only difference is, like, the lands or something. And then, like, the art on some of the... And, like, the art is not even, like, really black and white art. It's just grayscale. It's lazy. It's lazy, and then the distribution is going to be minuscule. Like, I was talking to Dave at Flights, and he said they're getting one case.
That's Jesus.
So this is going to be like Jumpstart, where like if you're not there the second they open the cases, you're not getting this.
Good old Wizards. So that's kind of Crimson Vow. I'm kind of glad we're taking a little bit of a break, but I think Wizards needs it. They need to refocus. I'm hoping that they do 2022 a little better. I mean, I know maybe we'll talk next week about who's in the MPL and stuff. I don't care. At this point, it's a done league. Yeah,
I wasn't going to talk about who was in it either. It's just they did announce the rosters for both of them, and they announced that there's going to be a world championship, and there's going to be 32 players instead of 16, and
they're going to win $25.
And then the Rivals League and MPL are going away. This league is basically a lame duck season. It doesn't matter where you finish unless you finish at the top. Those players are going to get their guaranteed money, and then poof, it's gone.
And I hope they come up with a better system for organized play. I really do.
So do I, but I don't think they will.
I'm probably not wrong.
Like you said, they don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah. So I really think that somebody in Hasbro goes, you don't hear of Monopoly leagues, do you? So I'm telling you, because that's their thinking. Anyway, let's go into combat. But it's the holiday season. It's a season of love. So we don't want to fight. We're just going to talk. And we'll go to main two.
Main phase.
All right. Main phase. So this is our Commander Craft segment. Imagine there is some Commander Crafty type music. Again, I will work on something at some point. Someday. Maybe. But we wanted to do a Commander Craft segment in which we're going to go through and talk a little bit about topics about Commander. Again, Standard's going to get kind of a little bit, you know, there's going to be some movement next week. I'm sure we'll be talking about the changes to Standard once Crimson Vow fully releases. I think there's an event in 2 weeks, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be some conversation there. But when we took Commander Craft back over, part of the reason we wanted to take the name back was for these type of weeks where we can kind of go through and talk a little bit about Commander as well. So we're going to do that tonight. We want to talk about an interesting topic with Commander that you may hear about if you go and play in LGSs and local game stores and stuff. But, you know, you may not hear about if you're playing in, you know, just around the table because nobody cares. And that's proxying. Mm-hmm. And so you may ask yourself, how did I get here? No, you may ask yourself, you know, where is my beautiful house? Darn, I'm going to be doing that all night. So no, but you might be asking, like, what is proxying? Proxying is taking usually the more valuable / really expensive slash you ain't never gonna find them slash they're 3.5 inch by 2.5 inch pieces of cardboard that'll cost you $800 type of cards. So they're useful in Commander. They see a lot of play in Commander. These are things like the Dual Lands, Gaia's Cradle, a Black Lotus even though that's not, you know, that's been banned. But there are a lot of highly, highly expensive cards in Commander, and people don't have them. They don't go out and buy them because, holy cow, who wants to, you know, mortgage their house?
Right.
So they proxy them, and they either print them out using their inkjet printers or, you know, they print them out in black and white, or they just write on a piece of paper, Gaia's Cradle. Okay, it goes all over the way. So we want to talk a little bit tonight about proxying and whether or not, you know, what it is, should it be permitted, when should it be permitted, why do people do it? So, Erebus, what do you got? You have an interesting viewpoint on proxying.
For me, if we're playing, like, an actual game,
right,
like if it's Commander Craft or FNM, I feel like you should play the cards you actually own. If you have the card like on the way, like you ordered it and it's on the way, I think that's fine if you proxy it at that point. Otherwise, if you're like testing out a deck with friends or you're just messing around, you want to see how something works, at that point I have zero issue with proxying.
Right.
My issue with proxying is if there's anything that's at stake,
true,
other than bragging rights, people are going to get degenerate and say, oh yeah, sure, all of my decks have Gaia's Cradle. You know, all of my decks have Mana Drain.
Reprint that, by the way, Wizards. Dear God, the reserve list sucks. Get rid of it. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So, you know, people, of course, are going to have, you know, they're going to proxy the most powerful cards in the format because they want to win if something's at stake. If the tournament's set up that way and there's like a limit on the number of proxies you can have.
Which you do see. You see some stores will be like, you can proxy, they'll do one of two things. They'll be like, you can proxy four cards or proxy up to $1,000 or something like that. Some number.
Yeah, and like for something like Legacy,
right?
I think proxying is a great thing because that's the only way some people are going to play. Like the majority of people will never get to play Legacy unless they proxy.
Right.
I mean, never mind Vintage. Commander is a different format where, you know, you can build a pretty good deck for $150.
Yeah.
You know, some
the precons are like the precons can win.
Precons can hold their own. I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah. If you're talking CEDH,
no,
okay, that's something different. That's something different.
We're not talking CEDH.
that's just a toxic salt mine, and I don't want to go anywhere near that. but you know, like for Commander Craft, I prefer not proxying unless you have the card on the
right. The only time I proxy in Commander Craft, I'll be honest, I've started proxying like my Mana Vault. You know I have it.
Right.
I've played with it at Kerwin's, but I want it in six decks. Well, I'm not going to go buy six copies. So you do that, but I'm
certain
like,
cards.
Yes. You know,
I have a limit on what I'm willing to spend to get multiple copies of a card. Yeah, for me, what I do, and there's a reason that I do it. If I need a Cyclonic Rift, I'll get a Cyclonic Rift. So I have a lot of Cyclonic Rifts. The reason I do that is because if I have people over to play Commander and they don't have a deck, I want them to be able to play whatever deck there is, and them actually having the card just for me just makes it more authentic, makes it feel better.
Right.
So it'd be like, yeah, okay, I have three different blue decks. Two people want to play them. Okay, I have three Cyclonic Rifts. I don't have to worry about saying, okay, well, let me get a Plains, write Cyclonic Rift on it and stick it in the deck. I have the Cyclonic Rift.
And I can get behind that. But a lot of people
do. It does
do
also
that.
Mean if I ever cash out that I have a whole bunch of Cyclonic Rifts that I can sell.
Exactly. So, I mean, but it is weird because proxying is one of those, it's one of those hot button topics.
It'll piss people off.
Oh, it does. Especially, and I get the fact that there are some people out there, some guys out there who have spent the money. Like, they've spent, they've bought the four Mana Vaults. They've bought the four, even Gaia's Cradles. Like, and again, I say, those are some single motherfuckers, because I don't know anybody's wife who's like, absolutely, go spend $800 on a piece of 3-inch plastic.
Who is $800? Guys, cradles are $1,200.
Exactly. Well, well, I'd get it for $8 because I'm awesome. But, I mean, yeah, there ain't, you're definitely a single cat. And, no, I'm not kidding. I mean, there are wives out there who are amazing, I'm sure. But it's,
or you're independently wealthy.
Yes, yeah. Or you're independently wealthy. But the fact is, I mean, for me, I don't proxy as much. I do have decks with proxies in it, but like I said, like my Torbren, I didn't want to buy another Fiery Emancipation. It's a $15 card. And I was just like, it was literally when I put the TCG order together, I was like, for me, it was like, do I want to spend $100 or do I want to spend $85? And it was a mental thing of like, okay, $85 just sounds better. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and I'm like, and I have a Fire Emancipation. I've shown it to you. I've used it. And if I'm playing at Kerwin's, I make sure that my proxies are not in the deck I'm playing that night.
Yeah.
You know, but if I'm playing on Commander Craft, I don't care because I have it.
Yeah, you own one and that's fine. And I think for me, the other thing too, is just like a logistical thing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you have a mana vault.
Right.
Or a mana crypt. You have a single mana crypt and you have it in all of your decks. Along with this, like, there's a smattering of other cards that you have that are, you know, in multiple decks that you only own one or two copies of. Logistically, it's obviously just easier to have multiple copies of the card because if you happen to switch decks, like especially during a broadcast, you're not wasting 5, 10, 15 minutes finding the card, unsleeving it, sleeving it, putting it. Like, you know, obviously you can alleviate that by having all your decks be the same sleeve, but then that runs into the issue of, okay, again, if you have multiple people over, and say someone's playing, I don't know, Yidris.
Yeah, you said. And
permanents start changing controllers. At the end of the game, you're like, shh, yeah, whose mana crypt was this?
Yeah. So I think, though, for proxying, it is one of those rule zero conversations. Have a conversation with your play group before even you sit down. Like, listen, I've got this deck. It's got three proxies in it. And I have the cards. I can show you the cards if I need to, but they're proxy. Mm-hmm. In some cases, people proxy, like, very, very, like, if you have a Gaia's Cradle, some people are like, it's sitting in a dual sleeve, in a hard sleeve, inside of an envelope that has been hermetically sealed. I proxied my Gaia's Cradle. Yeah, I got no problem with that.
That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Some people, I mean, some people are walking around with, like, you know, used cars in their deck boxes.
Right.
You know, they're like, I mean, no, full disclosure.
Another one shuffling without sleeves. You're like, holy shit, what are you?
Yeah, my for full disclosure, my Zakama deck is the most expensive deck that I own. It's just north of $1,200.
I've got some pretty expensive decks.
there's some expensive stuff. You know, I mean, commander decks can get expensive.
Yep.
But you know, like you said, have the conversation, and you know, the worst case scenario would be like, look, I have the card, or I have the card on order. Here's the receipt. You know, it's coming. It's just, you know, the mail, it didn't get shipped yet. It's somewhere like in Topeka and I'm waiting for it to show up. It should be here by Thursday, but I really, really, really want to play it because, you know, it's going to be great for the deck. It's fun for everybody, or, you know, it's annoying for everybody, but it's in my deck and that's what it does. But, you know, it depends obviously on the venue. It depends on the situation, but like casual play groups. Yeah. Like you said, you just have a quick conversation. Like, listen, I got this card.
And be cool. If your friends are pissy about it and they're like, listen, I don't want you to play with it, don't be like, motherfucker, they just don't want to lose to Ur-Dragon. No, that's not necessarily it. Okay, some people they spend a ton of money on their decks, you know, and they're like, if I'm going through the process of finding these cards, going on TCG Player or going on KGS Online and building these decks, like, you should do it too.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
I mean,
it's really, it's like another version of the net deck versus brewer debate. I'm a net decker. I for whatever reason, especially for commander decks, I cannot figure out how to build a commander deck to save my life. So what I do is I go onto EDH Rec, I look up the commander that I like, and I look up the average deck for that commander. And that's basically what I build. Like, again, Zakama's a little different because it's kind of a hybrid between the average deck and the expensive deck. Because I've, you know, certain pieces I own, you know, so it's a little bit more unique in that respect. But a lot of them, like, if you go into EDH Rec, click on that, you're going to see the deck list that I'm running.
Holy. And there's my Omnath deck Locus of Creation, $3,400.
What do you have in there?
It's got to be the, well, it's got the fetches. It's got all the fetches, as many of the fetches as I have.
Are you running the Onslaught versions or the Cons versions?
Oh, I don't know. I just put them in there. Yeah, it could be. I didn't put the versions
in
there.
Yeah, you got to check the printing. That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bloodstained Mire. Okay, yeah. Okay, phew. I'm like, holy shit, how the hell is my deck $3,000?
Yeah, I mean, because that's when I went through.
I'm on Moxfield right now, so.
Yeah, when I went through for Moxfield, what I did is I input the decks. Then I went back through and looked and see, okay, what printing am I actually using? Because that changes things.
Yeah.
Quite significantly, because like a Cons of Tarkir Polluted Delta is worth quite a bit less than an Onslaught Polluted Delta.
Yeah, I gotta get some of those Polluted Deltas. But yeah, my elf deck I think is right. I think the printings are right. That's a $2,000 deck.
Well, make sure it's like foil and non-foil too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but either way.
Yeah, I mean, these decks get expensive very quick, is I guess the point we're making.
They can get very expensive. So, I mean, I can understand people saying, you know, if you're not going to get the cards, it's kind of lazy. At the same time, you know, everybody's economic situation is different. And just because you can't afford a mana crypt doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to play one.
Right.
I mean,
especially in a casual format like Commander.
Yeah, Commander is a casual format, believe it or not. And like the only reason that I don't proxy duels is because I do plan eventually and hopefully maybe getting them, but I want to be able to say, okay, I actually have a Taiga, so now I can play my Taiga. And there's a certain satisfaction that you get from saying, I own this card, and it's in my deck, and I can actually play it. And then I'm not going to get, you know, 20 of them. I'll get one.
Right.
But, yeah.
So that's kind of our proxy talk there. You know, just make sure you're talking to your people. You know, be cool with your friends. Let's kind of pivot. We did get an email from Matt Super Carrot. He talked to us during the show on Wednesday, and he was like, hey, give me some advice on my decks. And I'm like, hey, listen, send it to us in an email. We'll go through it on the big show. Like Commander Craft, it's hard to kind of have that type of discussion. So he sent us his deck list. It's Azor the Lawbringer, which never thought about creating, but now I'm looking at this going, huh.
When I was building my my list of decks to build, and when I got to Azorius, Azor was on the list. I ended up settling on somebody else, but yeah, I took a good long look at Azor.
I'm surprised you haven't put that in your in a deck where Thassa is, and you just bounce him.
Okay, he's white blue and Thassa's mono blue.
Yeah, well, no, Thassa's not the commander, but you've got decks where Thassa's in the 99. I'm just saying.
I think we got her one deck so far.
Yeah,
maybe two. I have two. I have her in Asika in the 99, and then she's one of my commanders.
So his deck is kind of cool. It's obviously it's kind of an Azorius flyer slash tempo, I guess.
This is control.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the mind sensor.
Like, go wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very stacksy. That's good.
Yeah. And I mean, that might be Aramis's advice to you is go a little more stacksy because that's Aramis's playstyle. He's like, what? What? If I'm the only one having fun, that's okay.
Oh wait, hold on. Wait a minute. I didn't see the creatures. Never mind.
Oh,
this is very much Staxy.
I was gonna say
sensor, Grand Arbiter, Thalia.
He's got an actual Teferi.
Yeah, this is stacks on stacks on stacks.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, Norn's Annex. This is Pillowfort. This is like Pillowfort stacks.
You're officially not allowed to play anytime ever.
This is a deck where it's like, oh, you're playing that? Hold on, I want to bring in my Veil of Summer.
Yeah. So, what do you... I mean, looking at it, he's got a pretty... He's running a Crypt and a Vault.
Yes.
I get it, yeah.
If you have them, like, if I had enough Crypts and Vaults, they would be in every single one of my decks.
I don't have a Vault. You have a Vault?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got one. I opened a vault out of a booster pack. It was from Ultimate Masters.
No shit.
Yeah. Super sad. I had one when I was back when they weren't worth anything. I had one for fourth edition.
Yeah, so did I.
And they were. It was a garbage card.
Back it then. Was. But who knew in Commander it would become this thing?
And again, the games change and card evaluations have changed. Now it's right. A fucking all-star. You know, Vedalken Ori. I mean, Sensei's Divining Tau. I mean, the artifacts I wouldn't touch.
No. I mean, obviously he's running Rhystic Study. I looking at it right now, he's missing an enchantment. He's missing the enchantment. There's one white enchantment.
Oh, no Smothering Tithe?
No Smothering Tithe.
I'm not sure he needs it.
You're playing white-blue control. It don't hurt. It's a good 4-drop. There ain't no way it's not. Like, it's he's already playing Rhystic. Like, he could go... I think a Smothering Tithe for him would be really, really good in that deck. Because, again, he gets the mana to do things on your turn. You know, early on and later. Let's see. He's got enough card draw. Austere Command. Holy shit. I ain't seen that in forever.
Whenever that permanent choice, you may return that permanent on our team. No, he doesn't need
Smothering?
He doesn't need Smothering Tithe because his deck is basically set up to say, listen, I'm going to make it basically impossible for you to cast your spells. If you finally do, they're not touching my stuff.
Yeah, so how do you get around it? How would one get around this deck?
You'd have to go under him.
Yeah. I mean,
this is close. This is really strong.
It does kind of look really strong. I mean, what was he asking us? I forget what he was asking us during the show. He was asking for some advice.
I can find the email.
He'd like to soup it up for something nasty. He's also looking at using Brago with Azor. He wants to keep it under 2,000. I'm unfamiliar with Brago. Let me look Brago up.
How much is the deck right now?
That's like... This can't be cheap, dude. You're running like a ton of shit lands, man.
This is like this already like $1,300-$1,400.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's mana base looking like here?
All right, Brago, King Eternal. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents. Oh, so he's bouncing. That's a good card.
Yeah, he flickers all of his stuff, and I'm sure a lot of his creatures have nasty ETBs.
Well, his commander does.
Yeah, can't cast instants or sorceries. So, yeah, I mean, that shuts off interaction. Is it target opponent or each opponent? Each opponent, yeah. So all he does is continuing. He just flickers Brago. He flickers Azor during his turn. Yeah, this is complete stacks lockdown. Kind of gross, actually. Not going to lie.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what he would add, to make this any better. I'm looking to see here. I mean, okay, does he have Teleportation Circle? I mean,
I mean, he's got removal. He's got
Wraths. This deck is kind of nasty. Cryptic Command. I think he wins through his Elspeth Planeswalkers. He's got Jace the Mind Sculptor. I guess, is he missing? He doesn't have Mana Drain. I mean, that's about the only thing I would think of that he could possibly add.
Yeah, he's got a pretty...
I wouldn't touch this deck.
A Smothering Tithe would be the only thing I would think, because I love that card. And if it's in white, you just want it. But
yeah, but here's the thing. The great thing about Commander 2, there's no wrong answer.
No.
This looks fine to me. I would touch this.
I think throwing Brago in it.
Mana Drain.
And a Brago. I like Brago because he does want to bounce things. Because I don't think he's got a lot of bounce. So he's got Dessa, Deep Dwelling. He's got Thalia.
Yeah, so he's got Thassa to blink things.
That would give him two blink in the 99. That would give him two blink spells in the 99.
Yeah, but you got to look at the ETBs that he has. What ETBs
does he have? Oh, dude, he's got crazy ETBs.
Captain of the Watch has an ETB, which is okay, whatever. Deadeye Navigator plus Peregrine Drake is infinite mana, but that those go off by themselves. Grand Abolisher. During your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures, or enchantments. And then Grand Arbiter to make all their stuff cost more, his stuff costs less. Reflector Mage. Return to a creature.
It's really his commander, though. His commander shuts off everybody else's deck. That's why he wants to blank.
This is a stacks deck. I'm shutting you. And then, I mean, Teferi, Mage of Zulfir. So you can only cast stuff during your turn. And then if he makes it so you can't cast stuff during your turn, you can't cast spells. He locks you out of the game.
Yep.
So this is one of those decks where it wins the first game and then it's arch enemy every game after that when it shows up.
Yeah. I almost would love to see how this goes against your Sakama deck.
He'd probably crush me.
If you got Sakama out, you'd be able to get rid of his enchantments, but that's all you could do.
Yeah, good luck. I know. To get nine. I mean, he's got Leyline and Vidalcan Ori, so he's not casting anything during his turn anyway.
Yeah.
So he's draw land go, draw land go, draw land go.
Yeah.
And if he happens to need something, oh, just flash in a mana crypt.
Carrot, I feel pretty safe in saying this, sir. You are officially not invited to Commander Craft.
Not with that deck.
We're kidding, of course. I mean, if you ever want to play, let us know, and it'll be a week when we'll put you on with the other show. So,
I mean, I would definitely bring Zakama for this because that's my most powerful deck.
I'd probably bring Omnath for the landfalls, so because that does help me, like landfall triggers get okay. So, but because at the very least, if Omnath's out, and that's just it. Yeah, it locks things out, but can't cast instant or sorcery spells during that player's next turn. But he has to choose where he's countering. He still has to go around three people to counter.
Yeah, but it's each opponent can't cast
during right, next each turn. Opponent can't. But he can only counter.
But if he has Teferi out, it's each opponent can't cast, and then they can't cast instants at all.
Yeah.
And then he's sitting there with, like, again, either Leyline or Vidalcan Ori, and he's just blinking. Whatever he wants. This is gross. As a control player, I am very happy to see this.
As a control player, Aramis is like, I might put this together. This is not that expensive.
I'm not. I have, like I said, I have my Azorius commander picked. I have a lot of the cards for it already. I'm building the deck.
Yeah. He's got 11. But, it's Card Kingdom is 1180 to 1379. So it's probably about a good 1200.
This is a pricey deck.
It's probably mainly the lands.
Well, I mean, the mana crypt is $100.
And the mana vault.
Mana vault's $100.
Teferi is. Teferi, the real Teferi. Oh, he's only $2. No shit.
Yeah, that's very cheap. He's a creature. He's not too bad.
No. It's his artifacts are pretty rich.
The Sensei's Divining Top is going to be expensive.
I still find it funny that Ristic Study needs a fucking reprint. Greater Aromancy.
It was in Jumpstart.
Ghostly Prison. Aura Silence. Ghostly Prison, yeah. It's those damn artifacts in his lands. All right, so before we go to end step. And by the way, again, Carrot, you don't need much help, man. This is a pretty good deck.
Deck seems fine to me.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we could put it in. I didn't ask if we could put. I'm just going to put it in the show notes. If you want to take a look at the deck, it should be in the show notes of the podcast. That being said, with a couple of programming notes here before we go to end step. This week is a regular Commander Craft. Next Wednesday is a special Commander Craft, where it's going to be Aramis and I playing along with the Cantrip Cartel hosts. So it's a Planeswalker Podcast Network show. They're going to be bringing their legacy commander decks. Aramis and I are pretty much going to. Aramis is going to play Sakama, and I'm probably going to play Kalamax.
upgraded.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. The week after, because next week would have been when we do it, in 2 weeks for Commander Craft, so a week from, or 2 weeks from Wednesday, we will have our pre-con Commander Craft. That will be wide open to anyone, whether you are a patron or not. You're more than welcome. First two comers, and we may get two games in. So, first four comers, come on in and play Commander with us using the precons. So that's going to be in 2 weeks from now. December 20th, it looks like right now. I think I did the math on that right. So it's 5 weeks from tonight, December 20th. We are looking at it being our 125th show. So that, you know what that means?
That means that we put lampshades on our head and dance on the table?
Exactly. And nice. We're going to do our Plains Talkers podcast, Holiday Extravaganza. It's going to be a call-in show. We're going to encourage you to have eggnog. It's going to be exciting because it's our 125th show. So we did it at our 100th show. We had a call-in show. We'll be in Discord. It'll be an open floor. Aramis and I will talk, and then periodically we'll pull you in from the audience to be on the main podcast and hang out with us. And then eventually we'll just open it wide and we'll just have a free-for-all conversation. Holiday spectacular. So I'll be wearing the Yoda hat, and Aramis will be making fun of me, and it'll be great. And Aramis will be drinking regular eggnog, and I will be drinking not regular eggnog. So those are kind of that. And again, we're going to kind of reserve, we're going to reserve the right to kind of, where as far as this podcast goes, obviously we'll be on next week. Maybe, I don't know, because it's Thanksgiving. We may take next week off on Monday. We'll see if there's any major news or anything going on. But we haven't kind of talked about it. But, it is kind of like a holiday week. So, we're definitely doing our Wednesday show. So we'll probably do the Monday show. But we're going to kind of reserve, taking a week off from the regular podcast if we feel like it. If there's not a lot of news, we don't have a topic, we may just take the night off. Obviously, like I said, we got to keep going. So that's 125 at the 20th. Never mind. Nope, we'll be on next week.
Even if we're not talking about anything.
Yeah. Again, just to get the number, we may come on and be like, we don't have anything to talk about. So welcome to episode 121. Bye. So, yeah, because this is episode 120. So anything else you want to go over tonight, or should we?
No, I was still looking at Carrot's deck, and I was like, oh, okay, wait, he's got capsize in there too. So if he goes infinite and he has capsize, he bounces everybody's everything.
Multiple times.
Including lands. Which is just, that right there, that should lock you out.
So basically, and again, he writes in his email to us how, what was the word he used? It was something like he just wants to make it more degenerate.
I mean, there's not really much he could add.
He wants to soup it up for something nasty. Motherfucker, the whole damn deck is nasty.
What do you mana drain, put in Narset, put in some wheels to make it.
Actually, Narset would be good for him.
Yeah, so that they can't
stops card draw.
Yeah, like, Narset, hey, if you're going to spend the money, fire off a Time Twister. Fuck it.
Hey, how about a Nexus of Fate?
Yeah, that's actually pretty salty. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about casting spells if they never get another turn.
I mean, but what's his win con?
Tokens.
Okay.
Planeswalkers.
Yeah. Because, that's the one thing about that is it just seems like there's no win con. Well, with Thassa, once you get blue, and Azor can swing in.
Azor is kind of a win con. It is 6-6 six, six flyer.
True. So, well, let's go to end step. All right. So, Zeramis and I are putting our cards back into our boxes, rolling up our play mats, and taking the pizza boxes over to the garbage, because darn it, your mother still doesn't work in this video store. Holy cow, somebody's trying to hack into my Facebook right now. We noticed you're having trouble logging into your account. If you need help, click the button below and we'll log you in. I'm not going to click that button because this could be phishing. But I've got three or four of these like right in a row. I think somebody's trying to hack into my Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah, nice of them. We want to remind you that Aramis and I, we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of contents. Look, wow. That's kind of messed me up. I'm going to take the whole thing again here. Hold on. So as Aramis and I are putting the cards back in their boxes, rolling up our playmats, and taking the pizza boxes over to the garbage, because damn it, your mother still doesn't work in this game store, we want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch, and there you'll see all the shows we do on both Magic as well as some other geeky games that I play. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCarm73, where I tend to play DC Universe Online, Minecraft, sometimes Farming Simulator. I've thought about streaming old school Star Wars flying games like X-Wing Alliance and Rogue Squadron just for kicks. So, you know, check it out there, MindCarm73 on Twitch.
That's actually, one of these days, I want to see you like play like some random old game that's like super hard and watch you rage at it.
Rygar, this old game on Nintendo. Before they had batteries in the cartridge, like Zelda had the battery, Rygar was this game where it was a quest game like Zelda, but because you couldn't save it, you had to play it. And it was like 3.5-4 hours long. And
how good are you at the original Ninja Gaiden?
I was pretty good at that too. Same idea though. Damn. You get up to the end, and then your sister hits the reset. No! Yeah.
That's why I'm glad I was the younger sibling. So the older sibling, she just didn't care.
Oh, this is the fucking worst. Rygar. I can never forget that game because it happened so many times. Betty would get like, want to watch Little House, and we'd be playing it for, we have 3 hours straight because you can't pause it. You can't do it. It's 3 hours. And you're getting to the boss fight. And it's the big thing. And you've got, you're buffed out and everything good. She walks over and hits the reset button on the Nintendo. You're like,
and you die a little inside.
Yeah, it's the freaking worst, dude.
Anyway, on that note, sorry, I just had to. If you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, we had a couple of folks doing that tonight, you can join us on our Discord. Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's a great community. Usually some folks on there that are either up for a game or just down to chat for a while. If you want to join our Winnabox tournaments, this is where you need to go to register. So you might as well join the community and you know get involved in that. And then if you wanted to follow us on Twitter, you know we'll post there when we're going live, or if something really big comes along, we want to tweet about it. Go to Twitter and look up at PlanestalkerPod.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I mean, I don't tweet very often. I tend to just be there to follow really cool and interesting people. And by the way, just real quick, breaking news. As far as the Winter Box tournament goes, we do have two of the final four. So Sophisticated and Adam Bomb. By the way, it's Sophisticated. It's in there. I'm not slurring my speech. And the winner of Bowfinger Fan and Hippo Fam and the winner of Net Rock and FC Mark will be their opponents. So we're getting down to the final four. So, I mean, these guys, they've got their foot on the gas. But anyway, my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. You can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. Don't put planestalkers. That's some guy's airplane thing. But planestalker. And you can also like and follow our page. And again, we want to remind you about our playcast we do on Wednesday where we play Paper Commander live. You can tune into all of our channels Wednesday nights around 7 Eastern. We are still looking for two players to play. If you're a patron, you have until tomorrow morning to sign up. Otherwise, it goes wide. Always looking for some people to sit in with us. Let us know if you'd like to play. Hit us up on our Discord. And it's Wednesday night is when we'll play it when you get to see Ur-Dragon. So, yeah. And I'm opening another pack because I thought I would. Go on.
Yeah, so he's gonna have Ur-Dragon. I'm bringing Yidris. I'm just gonna say it now.
I got one of the green blue land, but it's like the showcase.
Oh, cool, nice.
Those are kind of pretty. Okay.
Oh, they are. They it's a nice treat. So I'm gonna bring Yidris. So it's a chaos deck. Keep that in mind. You probably won't finish the game with your own permanents.
I hate you so much for that. It's the worst thing on freaking spell table, dude.
That's why I'm playing. It's my second favorite deck behind Zakama now.
Yeah, you love the chaos.
I love the chaos. I mean, it's not this deck will not win the game most likely, but it's gonna screw some things up in the meantime. But anyway, if you want to talk to us in any other fashion, if Twitter's not your thing, if Discord's not your thing, you just want to send us an email, you can do that We have three different email addresses you can use. One of them goes to both of us. That's podcast@plainstalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@plainstalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to send one to me, it's aramis@plainstalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys again for hanging out with us tonight. We hope you had a good time. We certainly did. We will be back next Monday with the regular show, as well as Wednesday night. We will be here doing Commander Craft. We might be on Friday night with some of the videos if we get a few more to kind of fill out a show. If you're in the Win a Box promo or contest, make sure you send them to us. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for hanging out. Thanks for being a part of our show. Thank you so much for just being friends. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week. And we want to remind you to keep some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good week. Bye-bye.